our life, sometimes we have difficulty. We want happiness. Things aren't going right. So where do we look for shelter? Do we say, all right, my life's not going right, let me just go to sleep? Or let me get something nice to eat. I wonder which shop has some cake. Or do I go to my family, my mommy, my daddy, my brothers, my sisters, my wife? Oh, help me. Or do I go to entertainment, right? Let me watch a movie, play a game, space out. When we want to fulfill our desires, what do? Do we go to power? Let's see, who do I know? I wasn't really asking you to answer it, so okay, can I? We call that a rhetorical question. I just want you to think about it. Do we go to power and do we say, okay, the way I'm going to get what I want, I know this person and I know that person, and I've got this much money and I've got this much political clout, and I'll be able to get whatever I want, or I'm going to be really strong and threaten people? Do we go to anger? You better do what I say. Do we go to our intelligence? Well, let's see, I'm so smart and I'm going to figure it out and get what I want. Or I'm very creative and I'll be able to have my own solutions. Or do we go to humility and surrender? That's a picture of Gober Dunhill, by the way. So everyone has to take shelter somewhere. And we can think about, what are my real shelters? Not what I say my shelters are. Oh. It's too loud. We have a complaint, it's too loud, turn it down. Or I could just move it a little bit further away from my mouth. Okay, thank you. Is this good? Now we want it higher. See, I can also adjust it that way. Is that better? Everybody hear me in the far reaches of the universe? Thanks to those who are joining us from distant planets, distant islands on the planet. So we may say where we take shelter. We may say, oh yes, I take shelter of Krishna. I take shelter of Prabhupada. But that's actually tested practically every day, isn't it? Where do I actually go for shelter? And we might think we listed all different kinds of shelters, but really they all come under just two categories. The external energy or the internal energy. Right? So Durga Devi is also a kind of shelter, but she's not a very pleasant shelter. Prabhupada says she's a mother, but she's not an ordinary mother because she rides on a tiger with a trident. Right? If we had a mother like that in the community, you'd have to report them to the CPT. So who is Radharani? So Radharani and Krishna are actually the same person. They're one in their identity. So they exist eternally as the same person, and they also exist eternally as two persons for the sake of happiness. Prabhupada was asked in South America, what's the purpose of life? You know what Prabhupada said? Now I'll actually ask you. Do you know, Kanai, what Prabhupada said? What is the purpose of life? To enjoy. Prabhupada said, ananda, to be happy. Krishna consciousness does not mean chant Hare Krishna and be miserable. And if you're happy, then you must not be surrendered. We don't find in the six kinds of surrender, make sure you do something you hate and you're totally miserable. As soon as you're happy, then you know you're an illusion. No, actually, it's just the opposite. And you're an illusion, you're miserable. And when you're in Krishna consciousness, you should be happy. Right? Very nice in Krishna book where Prabhupada says, the devotees, they see the whole world as happy. And the non-devotees, they see the world as very aggressive. And I know sometimes when I've read that to devotees, they said, oh, I thought it was just the opposite, that the non-devotees were happy and the devotees saw everything as aggressive. Or later today, we're going to be studying the whole chapter, Bhagavatam 2.2. And there's a similar statement there that when one is in meditation on Krishna, the whole world appears to be happy. So Krishna's interested in happiness. And Radha and Krishna exist in two separate forms for the sake of happiness. And Radharani's also described, this is a picture from one of our children's books, Radharani's also described as the transformation of Krishna's love. And she's the personification of love. She's called Ladini Shakti. Now, this is a very important point. Ladini Shakti not only gives pleasure to Krishna, but also nourishes Krishna's devotees. So the devotees should also be enlivened by this spiritual pleasure energy. Right? And here we have again a transformation of Krishna's love. These are all direct quotes. The embodiment of Krishna's love. That's another picture from our children's books. So we're going to focus today on this verse.
Mahatmanatmam sacham daivim prakriti mahasita bhajantya nanna manasu natya bhutani mabhayam.
So especially this line, daivim prakriti ashritaha. Again, what is our shelter? Where do we go for shelter? It's interesting, in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Kam Ashrita, that the demons take shelter of lust. And elsewhere in the Gita, he says, Ahankara Ashrita, they take shelter of false ego. Actually, materially conditioned soul thinks, my lust will save me, it's my good friend. My false ego will save me, my anger will save me. Just like sometimes people have very dangerous pets. You ever heard of people who have big snakes as pets? You know, like a big python as a pet? Or a tiger as a pet? You know what sometimes happens? What sometimes happens when someone keeps... Do you know? Yeah? Yes, that's exactly what happens. When the pet becomes big enough, it says, food. And then there's an article in the newspaper. Man doesn't show up for work for 5 days and he's found at home his bones in the belly of his python pet. So our material shelters are exactly like that. We're thinking, oh, my nice lust, so nice. Gives me what I want. Oh, my anger gives me what I want. Nice, nice anger. Nice, nice false ego. And then it eats us. So rather, the great souls, they're taking shelter of the diving prakriti, the divine energy. So why should we do that? So we conditioned souls have been taking shelter of Durga for many, 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 many lifetimes. And we may question, why should we take shelter of Srimati Radharani? What good will it do us? So, I mean, really, if we're not experiencing the constant ecstasy of prema, that's evidence that we're taking shelter of the illusory energy. Right? Like Bhagavatam says, if one's heart doesn't melt in ecstasy upon chanting, it must be steel-framed. And Madhurya Kadambini, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, somebody may say, oh, I'm not committing any offenses. But the proof is there if one is not constantly in transcendental ecstasy. And then we may wonder, well, why don't we take shelter of Srimati Radharani? We must be worried. What will happen? What will I lose? What will I gain? And then we can ask, well, what does that mean to take shelter of Srimati Radharani? How do you do it? If I just say, hey, take shelter of Srimati Radharani, do you know what to do? No. Okay, so we're going to find out what to do. That sound good? Otherwise, we just say that. Take shelter of Krishna. Everybody goes, okay. But how do I actually do that? So first, we're going to look at the benefits. So this is a picture of Srila Prabhupada in front of Radha Govinda in New York. Who here has ever been to New York and seen Radha Govinda? So, yeah. Right after I got Gayatri Mantra, those were the first deities that I was serving. So we get protection. Right? We get protection against fall down. Just like when you're walking here in Mayapur, you may worry about snakes. Right? One devotee was showing me, right, your stick. I said, what's the stick for? There's no monkeys in Mayapur. No, that's for the snakes. We were looking at the welcome pack, the Mayapur welcome pack. Thank you. And we kept having all these things in there. Be careful of snakes. So we want to be protected. So when we take shelter of Srimati Radharani, we get protected. Does taking shelter of Durga protect us? No, she's the one piercing us. Right? So Radharani is protecting us. And then to get intelligence. So people are always asking, what should I do next to advance? What should I do next to advance? What's the next step I should take? Where should I go? What should I do? What service should I do? What an artist should I work on? How can I progress in my chanting? So that intelligence is given by Srimati Radharani. She gives us proper intelligence. Okay, this is the next step to take. This is what to do. And to achieve perfection. You like this picture? You see that? That's Radhakund and Shyamakund in the rainy season when the kunds merge together over the Sangram. Can you see the picture of Radharani? It's a little light in here. It's hard to see. Yes. Of course, I've been told that the people who work on the Sangram, the pandas, they don't like, right? They don't like the kuns to flow together for too long because then they don't get any business. Because nobody can walk on the Sangram and pay them. So they pump out. As soon as, if that happens, if there's the rainy season is so strong that the kuns flow together, they pump out some of the water, right? And then people can come again and pay them. But she gives us perfection. And you were all engaged in devotional service, undoubtedly, but I've been listening to Srila Prabhupada speaking on nectar devotion, and he was talking about how real devotional service, right? Brahma Bhuta Prasanatmana Sochachina Kanchati Samasaveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Param. You really start bhakti when you are free from the modes of material nature. When you're liberated, that's when real bhakti begins. Just like if you're preparing for a drama or a dance and you're preparing. The real dance or drama is when you're on the stage. But Prabhupada said even in the stage of practice, even when you're a prakriti bhakta, you're still materialistic, it's still considered part of the performance. Because you cannot just immediately go on the stage and perform. But we don't want to just stay in the practice stage. Prabhupada said we must come at least to the middle stage. Middle stage means I know how to treat the devotees. The beginning devotee, this, yes, yes, I love God, and they don't know how to deal with any other living entity. So at least to come to that stage, but we want to come to perfection. Sam Siddhin Haritoshana. We want to come to perfection of devotional service. So when we get under Radharani's shelter, she gives us that perfection. And this is such a nice statement by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that if you want the lotus feet of Krishna, which are like priceless jewels, then you hold the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani with great care. That as soon as we are surrendered to her feet, then we get Krishna. And then we will make advancement quickly. Right? Did any of you ever read Bhagunam Janmanamante Ganamamam Prapajate Vasudevam Sarvamiti Samahatmata Durla Baha and get discouraged? Anybody ever feel discouraged when they read that verse? Yeah, Bhagunam Janmanamante. Right, or the cowherd boys, they're piling up pious activities for thousands and thousands of lifetimes. Prabhupada, in talking about Dhruva Maharaj, says if you're as sincere and serious as Dhruva Maharaj, you can go back to God in one lifetime. And I read that and think, as sincere and serious as Dhruva Maharaj, that's a pretty high bar. Well, that's a pretty high bar. So one wants to advance quickly. not taking life after life after life. Of course, we know even if we're going to attain perfection after 10 million lives, that's nice. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that, oh Mukunda, he'll attain me after 10 million births, and Mukunda was dancing. Someday I will attain him. He didn't feel discouraged. But many times devotees say, can I really go back to Godhead in one life? Is it possible? It sometimes seems my advancement is so slow. So if we take shelter of Srimati Radharani, then we will be able, as Prabhupada says, to approach Krishna very soon. Then we will be able to advance quickly. All right, so now we know some of the benefits of taking shelter of Srimati Radharani. Who can tell me some of the benefits we just listed? A benefit. Somebody? Constant ecstasy. Something else. Yes. Intelligence as to how to make advancement. Yes. Achieve Krishna's lotus feet. Yes. Perfection. Protection. Okay. Do we want that? Everybody want that? Okay. So now how are we going to get that? How are we going to take Radharani shelter? So first we're going to look in a general way, then we're going to look very specifically. So we serve the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, who show us how to get Srimati Radharani's shelter. Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Krishna's quality of compassion is Srimati Radharani. And when Krishna is imbued with that quality of compassion, then he appears as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we want Radharani's shelter, we serve in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. We take on Mahaprabhu's mood. What is Mahaprabhu's mood? What does he want? Yes? What does Lord Chaitanya want? Yes? He wants us to chant. And what else does he want? Yes? He wants us to preach. Why does he want to preach? Yes, back there, sir. He wants everybody to go back to Godhead. He wants everyone to go. In the material world, people want things just for themselves. Somebody wants to make a lot of money, win the lottery. He doesn't want all of his neighbors to also win the lottery. Right? People want to have a little bit better car, or maybe here a little bit better bicycle, a little bit nicer house, a little bit prettier wife. Right? The other men can have pretty wives, but my wife has to be the prettiest. A little bit more first-class husband they can show off. Just see how puck up my husband is. You know, the other ladies, they can have nice husbands, but mine has to be a little better. But Srimati Radharani and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're not thinking like that. Radharani doesn't think, well, Krishna's mine, he's just mine, nobody else can have him. She's thinking, I want everybody to come to Krishna. Everybody. That's non-envy. Everybody. So that is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not thinking, oh, we are so much better than everyone else, we have this knowledge, everyone else is hogs, dogs, camels, and asses. But to elevate everyone and to try to get everyone to get more knowledge and more bhakti even than we have. So through the Sankirtan movement, through chanting and through preaching. Right? And especially through chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's nice, this is a quote from Srila Prabhupada where he says, I'm embarrassed with this material service. It's embarrassing serving a python who eats you, isn't it? Isn't that embarrassing? Do you find that? Do you find that our taking shelter of the material energy, isn't it embarrassing? You know, when I need something and then I get angry and then later I'm so embarrassed, oh, I got angry and I said something I didn't want to say. Or how embarrassing is lust? So humiliating. Now, Krishna, I'm so embarrassed. I feel so ashamed that I'm simply taking shelter of someone who's piercing me with tridents. And life after life after life, I'm just chewing used up bubble gum. Right? Used up sugar cane. There's nothing left in it. Something old and stale. So and I keep doing it. Right? It's so embarrassing. Please let me instead let me serve you. And how do we serve in Mahaprabhu's mission? Under the guidance of Guru and the six Goswamis. So the six Goswamis show us practical examples. What does it mean to have Srimati Radharani's shelter? And they give us step-by-step instructions in their books. What do we do? First, we're very fortunate that we have the Nectar of Instruction and Nectar Devotion that Srila Prabhupada translated for us. We also now have the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and more works of the Goswamis that are really showing us what does it mean to have the shelter of Srimati Radharani. Okay, now whenever I make this presentation, and I've been making this presentation for years, I also have a Russian translation and a Hungarian translation. So whenever I read this verse, somebody always comes up to me after the class and argues with me. So this is from Gauranga Balite Habi purport. I know that Srila Prabhupada explains this differently in different places. So you don't have, I already know that. And he gives the order sometimes in a different way. So we're not saying this is the only order. One thing we see as devotees advance is that things are very personal. It's like one of my god sisters who had served Tulsi Devi her whole life. When she was leaving her body, she said, oh, there's Vrinda Devi coming for me. And one devotee in Radhadesh, when she was leaving her body, she said to the other devotees with her, she said, is there someone else in the room? Is there someone else in the room? No one else in the room. I think someone else in the room. And she says, yeah, I see. There's Mother Yasoda Nanda Maharaj. So for one devotee, Vrinda Devi's coming. Another devotee, Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj are coming. It's very personal. Krishna consciousness is very personal. It's very individual. So in Srila Prabhupada, when the acharyas give us some step-by-step like this, we should understand that they're giving different things at different times. But still, I like this very much. So we can read this. So Narottama Das Thakur is giving us the direction how we can reach the highest perfectional stage of associating with Radha and Krishna. By surrendering to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How do we surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chanting and preaching. Nityananda Prabhu will be pleased, and by his being pleased we shall be free from material desires. And when material desires are no more, then we shall be able to enter Vrindavan. And after entering Vrindavana, when we are eager to serve the six Goswamis, then we can reach the platform to understand the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So now we're going to get into some specifics.
Satatam kirtantamam jatantasya dhirabrata namastantasya mahabhaktya Nitta Jutta Upasati.
This is of course the next verse in the Bhagavad Gita. What do the Mahatmas who've taken shelter of Srimati Radharani, what do they do? Satatam Kirtayam Tomam. What does that mean? Always chanting. And Dridavrataha. What's a Dridavrat? Very determined vows. So what are some determined vows? Chanting 16 rounds without fail every day. Hey, you feel like it, you don't feel like it. You had a bad day, you had a good day, it's raining, it's too hot. Your toe hurts, your head hurts, somebody yelled at you. You were very busy. You know, whatever. You know, when I was a little girl, starting when I was 2 years old, do we have any 2-year-olds in here?
This child looks like she's about one. So starting when I was about two, my father used to get up every morning at about 5 a.m, and he'd wake me up at about 5:15, and he'd stay with me until he went to work, or when I was a little older, until I went to school. And he did that until I went to college, so until I was 17. So for 15 years, he would spend about 2 hours with me every morning. And when I was very, very young, he would play games with me. I had a little doll named Ginger, and he had a little doll named Ginger. And his Ginger doll would teach my Ginger doll stories and about morals and ethics. My mother wouldn't get up until 10 in the morning. So my father would make me breakfast. I mean, my father never cooked anything in his life, but he would make orange juice for me. We had a big orange juice maker. He'd make fresh orange juice, and he'd toast some bread, and he would put butter and honey on it. He gave me his time every single day. My father was the CEO of an international company, and he was also a temple president, not a Hare Krishna temple, in his own religion. But he was a temple president, he was a CEO, and still every morning, for 2 hours, he'd spend time with his little child. He was never too busy. He didn't say, I have other things to do. Every day. And because of that, my father purchased my heart. So when I was about 3, he said to me, don't ever smoke. Well, when I went to secondary school, almost everybody then smoked. But I never smoked. Why? Because my father asked me not to. It was just that simple. And thank you, Krishna, my father wanted me to join the Hare Krishna movement. Otherwise, I don't know what I would have done. You know, when I came and I told my father, oh, actually, I just stayed 2 weeks at the Hare Krishna temple. And at the end of the semester, I'm going to move in. He said, I'm so happy you're looking for God. He said, it would have been better in our own religion, but that's not what's important. What's important is you're looking for God. He said, when I was 18, I was looking for God, and then I got distracted. I got married. I got into the business. He said, don't you get distracted. So what's my point? If we love somebody, we're going to spend time with them. We're going to spend time with them every day. We're going to give them ourselves. Not just something official. So the real dhritavrata, the real way we take shelter of Srimati Radharani, we give ourselves. We say, I'm making this commitment. If an ordinary father can do that for an ordinary child, out of material attachment, why can't we do that for Krishna? Actually, Prabhupada said that to me in 1976 when my oldest son was on my lap. He said, just like this mother is loving her child, one should love Krishna. So that's the real dhritavrata. I'm going to give myself to you. This amount minimum every day I'm going to spend with you. Maybe sometimes more, but at least that much. I'm going to dedicate my life to you. And of course, we may also take some other vows on Ekadasi or Kartik or something else. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives in Bhaktiloka a really nice formula for taking vows. I like it very much, although I've adjusted it a little bit. So he says you take a vow first for 3 days, then after that for a week, then after that for a month, after that for 3 months. So you can try saying, I want to do this for Krishna. Maybe for 3 days I won't eat any sweets. Or for 3 days I won't say anything nasty about anybody else. Whatever our things are. And then at the end of that time, you evaluate and you say, how did I do with that? Did I like it? Was I happy? Okay, maybe I'll do it for a week. At the end of that time, you look, did I do it well? Could I do it? Was I happy? Was it a blissful offering? And then again, you can do it for a month. And Bhaktivinoda says, after a while, you're doing it all the time. So after a while, at the end of 3 months, you say, oh, I like that. I want to renew it for another 3 months. I like that. Or some things you say, oh, this I don't like very much. this I wasn't feeling enlivened. So to take this great vow. And namasyam chastamam bhaktya, what is that? Offering our obeisances. Right, let's see if I can remember the Sanskrit for this. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhajana Rahasya, in his description of deity worship, so at the end of the puja, then one offers full obeisances. Let's see, what is this Sanskrit? Dorbyam pabyam cha janubyam orasa shirasha drisa manasa vachasa cheti pranamos tanga iritaha. So with my arms, with my feet, with my knees, with my belly, with my head, with my vision, with my speech, with my mind, everything offering. We worship her deity form by cooking for her, seeing her, decorating her, chanting for her.
So if the auspicious day of Radharani's appearance, so we should offer Pushpanjali, pray to Radharani that Radharani kindly be merciful and tell about me to your Krishna. To your Krishna. Krishna is your. Krishna, Radhar Krishna. Krishna is not independent. Krishna is Radharani's property. So you have to approach Krishna through Radharani.
Right, so we read Krishna's Swarat. Swarat's related to Swaraj. You're your own king. You can do whatever you like. But here Prabhupada says, no, Krishna's not independent. He's Radharani's property. So we go to Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada once gives the example, if you go to some man and you ask him for something, and he says no, but if you go to his lady friend and she says, oh, please. All right. So we pray to Sri, we take shelter of Srimati Radharani by going to her and saying, please ask Krishna to accept me.
We should worship Radharani first. That is our business. Instead of offering directly one flower to Krishna, you just put it in the hands of Radharani. My mother Radharani, Jagan Mata, if you kindly take this flower and offer to Krishna. Oh, Radharani, oh, you have brought a flower.
So this is how to pray to Srimati Radharani. Oops.
We should worship Radharani first. That is our business. Instead of offering directly one flower to Krishna, you just put it in the hands of Radharani. My mother Radharani, Jagan Mata, if you kindly take this flower and offer to Krishna. Oh, Radharani, oh, you have brought a flower.
We can also meditate on the qualities of Srimati Radharani, how she gets bathed in compassion, in youth, and in luster itself. Now this is such a wonderful description of Srimati Radharani. We can meditate on how her body is ornamented with trembling, tears, jubilation, stunned perspiration, faltering of the voice. Right, Mahaprabhu is praying like that. When will my eyes be decorated with tears of love flowing constantly when I chant your holy name? When will my voice choke up and when will the hairs of my body stand on end at the recitation of your name? So this is Srimati Radharani's constant state. And of course the devotees also aspire to enter into this state of ecstasy. So, you know, sometimes there's a controversy, should devotees get a salary, right? But you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted a salary. You all know that? He said, Betan. Betan means, I'm sorry, my Bengali is terrible. Vetan means salary. He says, prem, and again, I'm sorry, for those who know Bengali, then I'm going to butcher your language. It says, prema dhana bina vyarta daridra jivana dasa kori beta moriteha prema dhana. Prema dhana bina, without the wealth, dhana's wealth, without the wealth of prema, vyarta, you're useless. Daridra jivana, you have a poor life. If you don't have the wealth of love, dasa kori, I want to be your servant. So like when you go to get a job, you say, I want to work in Govinda's, what's my salary? So dasakur, I want to be your servant. Betanmor, give me a salary. What is his salary? Deya Premadana. Give me the salary of love. What's very interesting is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati translates this verse as, with ecstasy is my pay. Give me the pay of ecstasy. So you might think, and this is very nicely described in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think it's Adi 3. You might think if the devotee is going for ecstasy, it must be selfish. But no, the devotee is looking to make Krishna happy, and what makes Krishna happy? What makes Krishna happy? When the devotees are happy by serving him. Even a demoniac, power-hungry, profit-greedy head of a company, does he want his employees to be happy with their job? Yes. Why? Then they'll work harder. Right? Even a demon, they want their employees to be happy. But to speak of Krishna, Krishna's happiness comes from seeing, oh, the devotees are happy in serving me. And the devotee's happiness comes from seeing that Krishna is happy. And there's a competition. Who can make the other happier? So just like a man works hard, he comes home, he brings a gift for his child, and the child goes, oh, thank you. That's what the father's working for. That's what he's doing things for. So the wife will say, oh, thank you. Right? That's why the woman is cooking. That's why she's making the dokla and the puri. So the husband will come home and say, wow, I'm so happy. So Krishna is also like that. So Srimati Radharani, who's pleasing Krishna the most, she always has these symptoms of ecstasy. So of course Srimati Radharani is meditating on how Krishna is so sweetly playing his flute. Meditating on Krishna's qualities. And we know, of course, when Krishna plays his flute, the stones melt, the rivers flow backwards. But the same thing happens when Srimati Radharani sings. So here she's speaking to Uddhava about the glories of Krishna. And when Radharani is glorifying Krishna, just like when Krishna plays his flute, the stones are melting, and the movable persons, they become dull. And Srimati Radharani said, if I can't glorify Krishna, then it's better that I am just blind and dumb. She doesn't see Krishna. Can you see Krishna? Where is Krishna? Oh, he's hiding behind the tree. Sometimes like that in our life, we don't see Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? But he's there, just hiding, huh? Then in one autumn night, this is from Ananda Vrindavan Champur, Krishna called all the gopis to dance with him. The gopis were dancing in rhythm. And Krishna, and Kavi Kanapur says so nicely, strung on the thread of Krishna's beauty within their hearts. Now during the Rasa dance, there was one Krishna between every two gopis, and just one Krishna with Radharani. But still, Srimati Radharani was thinking, I want Krishna just with me. Thank you. So Krishna left all the other gopis and was just with Srimati Radharani. So this is another nice meditation on Srimati Radharani. That one of her friends said to her, "You've already given everything to Krishna, why are you so bashful? If you already sold the elephant, don't argue about the price of the goat." So sometimes we may also be like this. I've given my life to Krishna, but I'm holding on to some little thing. Right? I've already surrendered, I've already taken initiation, I've already taken my vows, I've already said, from this day on, Krishna, I'm yours. And then something I'm saying, oh, I don't know if I want to give that up. I don't know if I can surrender that. Right? We've given the elephant, and we're arguing about the goat. Now, everybody in Vrindavan serves Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna by bringing them together. This is actually the essence of how everyone in Vrindavan is getting transcendental pleasure. They're always trying to bring Radha and Krishna together. And this is not only true for the gopis, it's true for the cowherd boys, for the cows, everyone. Even the so-called antagonists like Jatila and Kutila. So we did our nice play, right? Of Jatila. So she's also indirectly bringing Radha and Krishna together. And that's actual happiness. Because Radharani is Ladini Shakti. And as soon as we bring that Ladini Shakti to Krishna, she also nourishes the devotees. And as soon as we bring Radha and Krishna together, anytime we are trying to please Krishna, means we're bringing Radha and Krishna together, then we also feel happy. What is one of the main ways that we bring Radha and Krishna together? Hare Krishna! One devotee told me that he was studying Ramayana and he was feeling so sad that Ram had sent Sita away when she was pregnant with love. Of course, she was just overwhelmed with grief. How can Ram send Sita away? And then he sat down to chant japa and he realized when he's chanting Hari Ram, Hari Ram, that again he's bringing Ram and Sita together. So when we are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we are bringing Radha and Krishna together, which is why chanting can bring us so much happiness that we no longer have any desire to enjoy separately from Krishna. We can meditate on the beauty of Srimati Radharani. Like the full moon, so beautiful in the sky, but yet nothing to compare with the beauty of Radharani. That Krishna is saying, I just reject the beauty of a lotus or the moon in comparison to Srimati Radharani. Right? Ayendra Prabhu wrote, he said, if you could see Krishna, you would faint, but if you could see Radharani, you would die. Actually, Srila Prabhupada writes in the third canto, the residents of Vaikuntha, they see Krishna, Lord Narayan, is more beautiful than Lakshmi, but the residents of Vrindavan, they see Radharani is more beautiful than Krishna. So, all good teachers review, right? Just like Krishna, he gives a summary in the end of the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna does Kaviraj, he talks about, this is what I'm going to talk about, and he summarizes, so we're going to summarize. So, what's the benefit we get from taking shelter of Srimati Radharani? Protection from fall down, intelligence, how to advance Krishna's lotus feet, perfection, we don't just stay on the neophyte platform, and quick advancement. And how do we do that? We learn about Radha and Krishna from Srila Prabhupada, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the six Goswamis, chant Hare Krishna, serve Srimati Radharani, pray to her, and meditate, as we just did, on her qualities and pastimes. This again was the verse that was the basis of this class. I hope you all relish this meditation on Srimati Radharani. I want to particularly thank the young children for being so attentive and participatory. Srila Prabhupada one time said, when we say all glories to the assembled devotees, that includes the children. So there's never in the history of the world been a religious movement that succeeded without children. So thank you all very much for coming and meditating on Srimati Radharani. So I think we have just a few minutes for questions, comments, corrections, additions, subtractions, chastisements, etc. We have a mic here. Anybody? Is it 9 or 7? 9.
Thank you.
Yes, 9:13, and then Satyatam Kirti Antarma is 9:14. What? 9:14. It's in Rome right after it. So take shelter of the divine energy. This is what you do. Yes, probably.
Yeah, sorry, I have the mic.
Oh, you have the mic first. Possession is 9/10 of the law, right?
Prabhupada makes the point over and over that energy of God, nature, is the impersonal aspect. Whereas Krishna is the energetic, he is the personality. So how do we understand that Radharani is the energy and is also a person if energy means impersonal by definition?
Oh no, all of Krishna's energies are also people. In fact, not only are each of Krishna's energies people, but each of the emotions are personalities. So if you read some of the Goswami's literature, they'll speak about Radharani's shyness as being a person. Now, everything is personal. You know, in many years ago, a devotee lent us a video for our Gurukula called How the Universe Was Created, the materialistic idea. Right? And then all the kids said, who checked the video? But it starts off with the scientist saying, if you look out into outer space, you'll understand that the essence of the universe is a cold, impersonal machine. And I thought, who would want to follow that philosophy? So everything about Krishna is warm and personal. Every aspect is Krishna's weapons are people. And Krishna's emotions are each people. All of Krishna's energies is personal. Of course, because Krishna's complete, so he also has an impersonal aspect. But it's not that every one of his energies are impersonal. He has some impersonal energies. But generally Krishna's energies are all persons. Thank you. I'm very glad you asked that.
Hare Krishna. Earlier on in your presentation, you were saying how Radharani's mood is manifested in Lord Chaitanya, and that she doesn't keep Krishna for herself, but she wants to distribute Krishna prema, love of God, to everyone. Then later on, in relation to the Rasa dance,
You
said that Krishna, Radharani wanted Krishna alone, and so.
And she left all the other gopis, right?
Yeah.
And they were bereft.
You said she wanted Krishna all to herself.
She did.
There seems to be a contradiction there.
Yes, there does seem to be a contradiction. Well, sometimes Radharani takes Krishna for herself. Sometimes. It's not that she never has Krishna for herself. But even so, the Acharyas explained that particular pastime in the Rasa dance, because there are different kinds of gopis, although all the gopis are getting their pleasure from seeing Radha Krishna together, they are facilitating that relationship in different ways. And some are facilitating that relationship by being apparent rivals, to add spice. Just like they made an announcement this morning, if you want prasadam without any spice, you have to get a special coupon. You know, so sometimes, especially when people are very sick, they have to eat food without salt, without spice. Like Shiva Ramar, you've done the Katiyani Vrat, where they just do that, what's it called? The mung bean and rice without any spices. He says it's like eating solid air. So without any spices, you know, food is not very nice. So some spice. But in the rasa dance, Krishna wants to dance together with all the gopis in a cooperative mood. He doesn't want this party. You know, so sometimes Krishna likes the party spirit. Oh, we're on Radharani's side, we're on Chandravi's side, we're on this side. But rasa lila is not like that. So one of the there's many reasons, but one of the reasons that Krishna went away with Radharani and then left Radharani was so then everybody would become sympathetic to Srimati Radharani. And then they could dance the rasa dance without that feeling. So it was actually to facilitate Krishna being close to everyone else, although apparently it was to take Krishna away. So both are there. But sometimes Radharani has Krishna to herself also. Just like we each also have our individual personal relationship with Krishna. We're not only with Krishna in a crowd. You know, sometimes there's a really big personality and the best you can get is, you know, 500 people away from them. Like the modern day when some big politician is speaking or, you know, big person is speaking, they also have a video of the person, right, projected on the wall because there's so many people listening to the person that they couldn't see their facial features. They might as well not even be there practically. So they put this... But Krishna's not like that. When Krishna's surrounded by the cowherd boys, how many cowherd boys are there? A lot. Not just like 10. Just like here, I try to look around the audience, but I'm sure I haven't looked at everybody, and there's...
All you guys back there
that I haven't been able to look at all. Unless I, you know, jump. I was in one temple where in the Sunday feast, they would move the Vyasasan out and people would sit behind it. So if you wanted to look at them, every once in a while you had to do this. You know, so if I'm looking at you, I can't look at you. And if I'm looking at you, I can't look at you. I can only look at one person or one small group of people at a time. When Krishna's surrounded by the cowherd boys, each cowherd boy is seeing Krishna's facing me and Krishna's just giving me all of his attention. So even in a group, the devotees are experiencing, I'm having a personal relationship with Krishna. But Krishna also goes with each devotee privately and spends some time just with them. Right? Generally, like our japa time, that's our private time with Krishna. Kirtan is our group time with Krishna. Even in kirtan, though, we're looking at the deities also hopefully looking at us. So both are there. But the point is that Srimati Radharani is the opposite of envy. Envy is, I want for myself and I don't want to share. Or if I have to share, I want to have the bigger half. You know, I'm sharing because I've been socialized by my family and by my society that if I never share with anybody else, no one else will ever share with me. And I'm not powerful enough to always take everything for myself, although I would probably like to if I could. So therefore, I agree to share. But even when I share, I don't want to quite share. I don't want other people to be quite as smart as me, and quite as beautiful as me, and quite as talented as me, and quite as rich as me, ever but a little less. Quite as advanced as me, quite as scholarly as me, and a little less. One of the few places you don't see this, sometimes, even this not always, is between a parent and a child. So it's not unusual for a parent to be happy if their child is richer or more famous or more beautiful or more talented than them. But that's just because they feel their child is part of them. It's not really some great quality. They're seeing their child as a younger expansion of themselves that they're living on through their child. But Srimati Radharani, exactly the opposite. She's thinking, let everyone else have more than me. And all the devotees are thinking like that. Let everyone have more than me. Now, if you're in a society where everyone is thinking like that, then everybody gets unlimited. And if you're in a society where everybody's thinking, let me get just a little bit more than everybody else, then everybody's in competition. So this is one of our main miseries here. Right? Adibhautic miseries with other living entities. Because even in my close relationships, just like there's books about relationships, and they'll say how do men keep score, how do women keep score, and everyone's thinking, let me always have just a little bit more. Let me keep tipping it to my side. So the mood of Srimati Radharani is exactly the opposite of that. Is that clear? Wonderful question. Okay, it is now 9 o'clock. Right, yes, take one more. If you can have the mic journey to that side of the room. Yeah, but I think they want it on the, because it's getting broadcast.
Why Radharani is always 14 years? I mean, mathematically, she's gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 14. And after that, she's eternal. Why is that?
I don't know. You have to ask Krishna. Why do you want your girlfriend to always be 14? Prabhupada wrote Ramlata Ekayani. He said, for the answer to that question, I suggest you go to the spiritual world and find that for yourself. So
thank you. You gave me a ticket.
Okay. You have to ask him for the ticket, Prabhupada. Not really. Jai, all glories to Srimati Radharani. All glories to Srimati Radharani.